Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We have a series of stories to go through for you. Suffice it to say that I managed not to watch one second of the Democratic National Convention coming to us from Chicago this week. Mercifully, that incredibly sick conclave is now over. I've gotten plenty of reports and analysis, of course, on what went on there. And I will simply say that the Kamala Harris acceptance speech is perhaps most noteworthy for its absolute commitment to continuing the Zionist slaughter in Gaza and Palestine. The whole situation with supporting Israel in its stated aggression against Iran. And last but not least, Kamala Harris spewed out last night all the usual Russophobia and her absolute misunderstanding of what is going on in this business between Russia and Ukraine. And she pledges, of course, that the United States will continue to back Zelensky and all of what he's about. And last but not least, of course, when we talk about that, it has subsequently emerged on the Associated Press today that we can expect another $125 million to be approved immediately for Kiev, courtesy of the Biden-Harris group. So this is where we are, and it's a grim picture on both sides of the political aisle in regard to issues of war and peace. So let's get to the whole issue of stories and links. I have listed in a bit of shameless self-promotion, but I think you'll enjoy the article, Mark Dankoff for VT Foreign Policy, with a roadmap that, of course, will go up with this show. You will also discover not simply the VT Foreign Policy link to my article, which is entitled Saturday, August 24th, 2024. Tomorrow is Ukrainian Independence Day. Annihilate Zelensky and his kosher cabal once and for all. That article says a lot of things. It also reposts what I said at the very, very beginning of the Russian-Ukrainian war as a suggestion for the Russian people and for their government in regard to the adoption of the Chicago Way. You remember the movie, of course, The Untouchables with Kevin Costner and Sean Connery. You will remember then Sean Connery's statements to Kevin Costner as to how Al Capone could be defeated in Chicago. This is the only way, folks, that Putin and the Russians can win this thing once and for all. They have the capability of doing it. They've got to suck it up and do it once and for all, not simply for themselves, but for the rest of us worldwide who are sick of the New World Order. We are sick of global homo. We are sick of the United States, in the case of Americans listening to this broadcast, of all of these worthless Zio-con wars. That necessitates supporting Putin. I'm sorry, folks. He had every right to do what he did in invading the Donbass. My article will go into some of that, of course. But that article deals with not simply the link that we have put up there on the big board in regard to VT Foreign Policy, but our own Republic Broadcasting Network has posted a link that reprints that article, and that, of course, will also go up on V. Contacta. There is, in terms of that story, something else that I want to discuss that you will find in my story, but we have it posted as a separate link if you want to get to it immediately. Aussie Cossack. If you don't subscribe to this guy on Telegram, you're really cheating yourself of a brilliant site that deals, of course, with something that is obviously presenting the pro-Russian side of the Russian-Ukrainian war. This Aussie Cossack character, I believe his real name is Simon Boykov, if I'm remembering correctly, B-O-I-K-O-V. Apologies to him if I'm not getting that down correctly via memory. But suffice it to say that he is presently an Australian who is hiding in the Russian consulate in Sydney simply because the Australian government is adopting apparently the same police state tactics that we are beginning to see in the United States with the Federal Bureau of Investigation going after people like Scott Ritter, and Tulsi Gabbard. And of course, Tulsi Gabbard's situation, where she has been placed on a watch list by the transportation safety people. That's now being investigated officially by some Republican congressmen who are, in this case, are absolutely correct. How do you put on a terror watch list a lady who was a longtime Democrat congresswoman from Hawaii, one of our most liberal states in the union? How do you put on a terror watch list to be watched when she attempts to fly on an airplane? A U.S. veteran whose sole crime, apparently, when it comes to Global Homo and to Hillary Clinton and to Kamala Harris and to the Democratic Party and to the Biden administration, and that is that Tulsi Gabbard came out with a YouTube video, an excellent video, by the way, chronicling the deliberate anti-Christian bigotry in the Democratic Party now. I think that's very obvious to anyone who watched this queer production in Chicago, which simply augments, as I believe I said in my article, which is now up there with VT Foreign Policy, simply augments Macron's queer Olympic circus. That was another deliberate attack on traditional Christianity and traditional Christian morals. That was the that was fully backed not only by Macron of France, but presumably the EU generally, as well as the International Olympic Committee. And I don't hear any complaints at all from the U.S. Olympic Committee about the absolutely obscene character of those opening ceremonies, which was an obvious attempt to profane Jesus Christ and the Lord's Supper and those who are traditional Christians, East or West. So this is what we are dealing with, folks. We are dealing with a Ziocon police state that supports cultural subversion, that supports illegitimate wars, that supports coup d'etat and assassinations when it comes to regimes that the Ziocon state and the Zionist occupied government of the United States and those of Europe don't happen to like. And this is all coming together quite nicely in terms of this mix in Chicago of international faggotry and abortion on demand with cries for more wars on Israel's behalf and on Zelensky's behalf. And I think we know that, in fact, this has everything to do with the synagogue of Satan. Don't believe me? Take a look at what Jesus Christ says to the church of Smyrna in John's Apocalypse, Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. Jesus repeats that same warning to the other fine church out of the seven in Asia Minor that didn't have any deficiencies. That's the church in Philadelphia. And there, to that church, John records Jesus Christ as stating that same warning. Beware of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Who is a Jew, according to Jesus Christ, by the way? The Anti-Defamation League isn't going to like this. But Jews are those who belong to spiritual Israel. Jews and Gentiles racially, who confess faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 2, I believe verses 28 and 29. That would appear to be the theological backdrop for what Jesus Christ says in Revelation 2 verse 9 and Revelation 3 verse 9, not to mention his very extended dialogue and argumentation with the Pharisees in John chapter 8. Read what he says there, and it's very clear that the Zionist movement, the modern Zionist movement, and this murderous Netanyahu regime have nothing to do with the Israel of God, which is comprised of those, in terms of the New Testament, Jews and Gentiles racially, who believe in Jesus Christ. So why are people like John Hagee of Cornerstone Church here in San Antonio and his Christians United for Israel organization backing Netanyahu and this murderous genocide of Palestinians in Gaza and in the occupied territories? It has everything to do with apostate heretical eschatology and theology. It has everything to do with the Benjamins. By the way, if you live here in San Antonio, drive by Hagee's Church on Stone Oak Parkway. Very easy to get to, right off of 1604. And you can see all of his latest building projects. Where is that money coming from? I guess you have every idea as to where it's coming from. He has enough spare change left over to support all of his Zio buddies, including the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, an absolute advocate of genocide, who appeared in Hagee's Church right after the 7th of October to assure everyone out there who doesn't have a theological or moral brain in his head, that if you're a Christian, you support what Israel is doing in Gaza and Palestine and what they have been doing ever since the foundation of the State of Israel. Taking that logic to its conclusion, this would mean that in terms of the Levon affair, this would mean in terms of the Kennedy assassination, this would mean in terms of Israel's deliberate attack on the USS Liberty on June the 8th, 1967. This would mean in terms of a myriad number of spy cases where Israel has been stealing the United States blind. This would include, of course, the Promis affair. This would include Israel's theft of nuclear raw materials in Apollo, Pennsylvania, the so-called NUMEC operation that Netanyahu himself was personally a part of. This would get into 9/11 and all of the other things that now have us in these no-win wars in the Middle East, where it's quite apparent when you look at the roadmap that will be posted with this show. There's a cartoon there that shows the absolute fidelity of donkeys and elephants in the United States to the Zionist State of Israel and to the racist and murderous ideology that it represents. This has, my friends, nothing to do with the Israel of God according to the New Testament, but it's very lucrative for so-called Christians like Hagee and Christians United for Israel, who I believe, eschatologically speaking, will find themselves in the lake of fire, but that's only ultimately after bringing temporal disaster upon themselves and upon the rest of us. So in terms of getting back then to the article, my article briefly, the so-called Independence Day, which is Ukrainian Independence Day, which is tomorrow, August 24th, 2024. There have been a lot of rumors that I've been following in international media on Telegram that suggest the possibility that Vladimir Putin might finally take the gloves off as a result of this Ukrainian incursion into Kursk, into Russia, and to all of these latest provisions of American weapons, and to what would appear to be the virtual American sanctioning and the virtual British American sanctioning, among others, of the utilization of long-term missiles inside Russia with very devastating airstrikes. This is, of course, something that occurred a couple of nights ago with a massive drone attack over Moscow that was completely thwarted by Moscow air defenses. But nonetheless, the Russians are not stupid. They see absolutely what's going on here in terms of the fact that the Zio Global Homo community, as you will find that in both of the major political parties in the United States, wants to keep pushing the envelope. Well, now that Russia itself is under more significant attack and you have had a Kursk invasion on behalf of Zelensky's forces, watch tomorrow, because there's been a lot of rumors going around that have even been repeated by the Chinese and American consulates in Kiev, who want their own people out of Kiev because there is a strong whiff of a rumor that tomorrow might be the day that Putin's Air Force really visits the skies over Kiev. Is that going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. But there are about a lot of rumors in places that you're not going to see these reports in American mainstream media that suggest that the retaliation of Putin and his general staff on Zelensky for this ongoing pushing of envelopes, that could well begin tomorrow. So let's keep an eye on that. If it doesn't happen tomorrow, that does doesn't mean that it won't happen, which gets into the story that I incorporated as a separate story on your roadmap, which I will fire off to our RBN technician probably in the next few minutes. Ossie Cossack, this character down in Sydney, Australia, who, of course, is hiding out in the Russian consulate in Sydney simply because he doesn't want to become the Scott Ritter of Australia or worse in regard to potentially being arrested and thrown into some Australian prison with a key thrown away. This fellow, Simon Boykoff, I believe is his name, has posted a Russian state video featuring a Russian military expert by the name of Vladislav Shurygin, S-H-U-R-Y-G-I-N. This is my first encounter with Mr. Shurygin. I now follow his site on VK. But at any rate, this is what is said by Mr. Shurygin in a Russian language video where English language translation in the way of subtitles is provided. Shurygin is asking the same question that I have been asking for months and months, and of course he knows a lot more about this than I do, in regard to all of these bridges and dams over the Dnieper River, or the Dnieper River, depending on how you want to pronounce that, that Russia could simply smoke those folks. And all of a sudden, Mr. Zelensky would be not only really sorry that he had ever engaged in something as reckless as this Kursk incursion, but that might have Zelensky trying to swim all the way to Miami, which is the language at this point, not of Mr. Shurygin, but the language that I use in my latest article. But Shurygin says specifically, with a red exclamation point, let's wage war. Enough fighting with one hand behind our backs. Russia should destroy all of the bridges and dams over the Dnieper River, creating a logistical catastrophe for Zelensky's regime. Ossie Cossack then takes a poll with a lightning bolt in front of the question. Do you agree? Is it time? Asks Simon Boykoff down there in Sydney. I argue that it's well past time. And so if you go to what I have posted with VT Foreign Policy, and our team at Republic Broadcasting has just put up our complete reprint of that article, you will see that I go all the way back to my initial advice to the Russian people and the Russian government that was entitled The Chicago Way. What is the Chicago Way? Read the article, and you'll discover that that article, which was posted back in 2022, as the war was just starting to brew between Putin and Zelensky, that in terms of defeating the New World Order, that the same kind of comprehensive analysis and methodology that was advocated by Sean Connery to Kevin Costner in the movie The Untouchables, it's what the Russians need to do. We'll break for Eddie Arnold and July Year Old Woman, and our advertisers, Mark Gankoff, will be back. Stay tuned. You're a woman more than anyone I've ever known. I'm
so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Make the world go away. Say and make the world go away. Do you remember?
We are back. You have been listening to the great Eddie Arnold with what arguably was his biggest hit in terms of sales of a single, Make the World Go Away. That goes back to 1965. I wish Eddie was still around personally to help make the world go away. But when you listen to that song, it goes back to a totally different era in this country, different era in terms of our culture and our music, our country music industry, you name it. But there was Eddie Arnold with Make the World Go Away. Okay, we go back for a minute. I want to say something about what is going on in truth in regard to the Russian-Ukrainian situation militarily. There's a lot of crap, if you'll pardon my language, that is being promoted by the mainstream media in regard to this whole thing. I want to reassure you folks that Zelensky's mistake and Syrsky's mistake of going into Kursk, into Russia proper, is costing them a pretty penny in terms of armaments and casualties. Presumably, these bums don't care how many of their own people they kill, both in terms of casualties as well as armored vehicles that have been destroyed, they're getting smoked, folks. And you're not going to see that, of course, with these reports that are going on in the mainstream media, including some nonsense I was reading on MSNBC this morning that a neighbor of mine alerted me to. Here's the reality of Kursk. Now, I'll be the first to confess that these are Russian statistics, but I've seen an awful lot of video out there that I monitor every day from all kinds of news sources. I have to spend hours watching some very dreadful stuff for you and analyzing how much of it is credible and how much is verifiable. I have to tell you, these are Russian Defense Department figures, but they tend to line up with the sorts of things that are being reported by the Duran and Larry Johnson and Moon of Alabama and Scott Ritter and Brian Berletic at the New Atlas and all of these other fine folks, DEMA military summary on YouTube and so forth and so on. So here are the most likely statistics for the Zelensky regime in terms of what they have bequeathed to their own people in Kursk. There are approximately 5,137 dead Ukrainians already as a result of this incursion. These armor losses are absolutely amazing. 69 tanks, 55 armored personnel carriers, 27 infantry fighting vehicles, and 350 ACVs. This is what we presently have in the way of any somewhat reliable statistics on what's going on there. But perhaps even more importantly, the Zelensky-Syrsky effort to divert Russia from what it's doing elsewhere in the line of conflict within Ukraine and Donbass itself, they have failed to get any significant Russian military force to divert to the area to reinforce Kursk. That spells the end of the gamble for these guys. And this is what I'm going to suggest to all of you, keeping in mind the more reliable sources on this war that I've already mentioned, whose sites crop up from time to time, and what I do report and what I do post for you. Keep an eye on Pokrovsk. Keep an eye on Novogradovka. Keep an eye on Toretsk, certainly. Keep an eye on the Volgograd region. Keep an eye on Chasiv Yar. We've been talking a lot about what's been going on in Chasiv Yar. And keep an eye, folks, on all of these different campaigns that continue to progress that ultimately threaten the Slaviansk-Kramatorsk salient. Now, I've mentioned that from time to time on this show in the last couple of years as this Russian special military operation has unfolded. But the Slaviansk-Kramatorsk salient, if it falls to Russia, as I believe it will spell the absolute end of the Zelensky regime and the absolute end of global HOMO's incursion into Ukraine in an attempt to surround and to badger Putin and to engage in incursions in Russia itself. Make no mistake about it. The global HOMO people and the Biden-Harris people, the idiots in the Republican Party who have supported this miserable effort up to this point, and those in the global LGBTQ community and all of these armaments manufacturers and other people who are really behind this terrible thing that has cost hundreds of thousands of lives up to this point. Make no mistake about it, Russia will win. And I think this is not simply based upon my own analysis of what is going on militarily in Kursk as well as in Ukraine generally, but I'd be the first to tell you that I am not a regional expert in terms of Ukraine or in terms of the Kursk region of Russia, but I know what sources to consult, and off the record, a number of these sources will share things with me that I can't attribute to them publicly. Eddie's back with Make the World Go Away. I wanted to say one more thing about the Ukrainian theater. Then we'll move on to some science stuff as it pertains to both Trump and the Democrats. Stay tuned.
Make the
truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop and lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop and lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great. But can I afford it?
Sure. And the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay. I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
I can't hold it on the road when you're sitting right beside me, and I'm drunk out of my mind merely from the fact that you are here. And I have not been known as the saint of San Joaquin, and I just as soon.
We are back. You have been listening to Eddie Arnold, July, You're a Woman. That is from his Standing Alone album for RCA in 1970. By the way, a lot of people, even around a much younger generation in this country, has never heard of him. A lot of foreigners have never heard of Eddie Arnold, who encounter him on V Cantata because of my website. And so what I basically say is this: Eddie Arnold was the Country Music Association's first Entertainer of the Year, the very first year that that award was made. Eddie Arnold is the only person in history to already be in the Country Music Hall of Fame when he was awarded the CMA. Eddie Arnold was the youngest candidate, tied with Johnny Cash, at age 48. For induction into the Country Music Hall of Fame. I think Eddie beat Johnny by maybe a couple of months in terms of birthdays. But in terms of top 10, top 40, and number one hits, Eddie Arnold historically was the biggest record seller in the industry. But of course, the era in which he was strongest, from the end of World War II to the very end of the 1960s, has since been dwarfed by the magnitude of the record sales industry of today that has propelled people like Garth Brooks to the top of the line in regard to country music. But I think it's well understood that in terms of Eddie Arnold's history, that he was the most significant force in the development of the entire country music industry after the end of the Second World War. And of course, you can continue to find him on YouTube. a lot of music there that goes back into a very, very distant past now. Let me mention a couple of things, and then we'll take a caller. I think Vinny is on the line from Indiana. Certainly want to get him on. Take a look, folks, at the roadmap at Alistair. I never know how to pronounce Ambassador Alistair Crookie's name. Is it Crookie or Crook? I'll go with Crookie, but either way, Alistair Crookie for UNTS. Revisionist Zionists dare to the United States to pull the plug on their Nakba agenda. Now, folks, this is not simply an informative article that builds on what we all know is going on. He gets into the history of all of this as it pertains to the distant past as well as to the present political composition of the Zelensky regime in Israel, and the whole way in which, of course, you have different Zionists with somewhat different orientations and histories. And Crookie gets into this in a way that certainly helped me to understand a lot more about what is really going on with these crackpots and the Netanyahu regime. And then, frankly, all the crackpots in the United States in terms of both of the major political parties and both of the presidential nominees in supporting these bums. But take a look at that. It's a very lengthy article. I want you to really spend a great deal of time with that one if you possibly can. Yvonne Kesich for Press Television. Iran has an explainer. What are the scenarios and likely targets of retaliatory strikes on occupied Al-Quds? Let me simply say this, folks. I have some very fine friends who believe that the Iranians have backed down after the assassination of Haniyeh, the Hamas negotiator at one level, to be their negotiator with the United States and Israel in regard to achieving some kind of a ceasefire in Gaza. Netanyahu and the Biden administration and neocons in both of the major political parties, of course, demonstrated that they're not interested in that at all, because they commissioned the assassination that Israel carried out, where Ismail Haniyeh of Hamas was murdered in Tehran when he was there to attend the presidential inauguration of Iran's new president, Masoud Pezeshkian. Now, this will result, I can guarantee you, folks, in some kind of very significant Israeli response, much like what is going on with Putin, much like what is going on with Hezbollah, and so forth. The Iranians are biding their time, and they're preparing. They are preparing, folks, for a long war with Israel. One of the things that convinces me that their reticence to attack now is based on solid military and economic and political and diplomatic facts. Number of pictures and videos that I have seen in international media on Telegram of gigantic Russian airlift operations going on that are bringing who knows how many state-of-the-art Russian S-400 air defense systems into Tehran. You can bet that that's not an accident, folks, that the Iranians are simply preparing. They are waiting for the right time and the right place. When will they respond? We don't know. Any more than we really know what Putin's Russia may do tomorrow, despite all of these rumors about Ukrainian Independence Day on August 23rd, tomorrow, Saturday. We simply don't know, but there are some fine indicators that this thing is really, really going to reach a new level of conflict in regard to Mr. Kesich's article on Press TV that explains some of this. Take a real good look at that. Phil Giraldi for UNTS. Israel will bleed America dry and discard it like an old shoe. The United States must disengage from the Israeli death grip. That appeared on UNTS today. I included it for you in your roadmap with a lengthy excerpt of what he has to say, both about Biden and Harris and Harris's husband, as well as Donald Trump. and Sheldon Adelson, and Sheldon Adelson, the late Sheldon Adelson, and Adelson's widow, Miriam Adelson, who's going to offer Trump $100 million if he signs off on Israel annexing the West Bank. Take a look at this, folks. It does not bode well for avoiding a major war, regardless of who wins this election. RFK and Trump are near a deal, or so it would seem. RT has a report on this. I posted that for you on the roadmap. Let me simply say this. I want you to read in conjunction with that very current story, my past post on RFK's presidential bid this past year. It's advice and analysis for him. He didn't take my advice, by the way, but nonetheless, read that I said to the RFK people that for the RFK senior, 1968, it was the war, the Vietnam War. For the RFK of 2024, as an issue, it's the war, World War III. Yet RFK's endorsement of some of the kookiest elements in Zionism, including Rabbi Boteach, and the fact that RFK has completely bungled this Middle Eastern policy issue, it cost him what it could have been the most significant American third-party effort in history, even eclipsing what his dad tried to do in 1968. Nonetheless, it is what it is. Looks like he is going to throw his support to Trump, and that that might be in exchange for a cabinet position if Trump wins. We also have reports that Kennedy has removed himself from the ballot in Arizona. So keep an eye on that. Press TV reports that the Zionist lobby plans to return Trump to the White House. My old buddy Chuck Baldwin with the Constitution Party, we're old friends. We both toiled in Constitution Party vineyards for a long time. Today, Chuck's got one for Lou Rockwell entitled, "Is Trump Trying to Lose the Election?" That's a must for you to look at. Police State America, Matt Tabibi for Racket News. The worm turns. The House and Senate investigate the TSA surveillance of Tulsi Gabbard. That involves Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, along with Rand Paul of Kentucky, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, and Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa. If they can profile Tulsi Gabbard, what about you and me getting on an aircraft? Think about it. And that's all I'm going to say at this point, because I have one other thing I will say toward the end of the show about a comment that somebody posted today, very thoughtful and sad comment that was posted today at VT Foreign Policy in response to my latest effort. Vinny, are you there in Indiana?
Yes, I am, Mark.
Well, what do you think's going on here? What's your take on all of this?
Well, I want to comment on what you just said about Iran's restraint after the Haniyeh assassination. And I think there's quite a few things involved. One is, we now had the coup against President Biden, and I think they want to, to see how that shakes out. And now, de facto, whether we like it or not, Kamala Harris is basically the president, 25th Amendment or not. And I think they want to do another diplomatic session. One of the things, there's a gentleman appeared on the Electronic Intifada today. You may know him as an Iranian journalist. I think his name was Mohammed Morandi.
Yes, I know. I don't know him personally, but he is a very fine professor, I believe, at the University of Tehran. And I follow him whenever he posts something on VK. And I don't know if we've ever crossed paths or not before in cyberspace. We've never met. But he is a top flight intellect and a top flight expert on things related to Iran and the Middle East. And, of course, he has a very strong command of English as well as his own native language. So I know who he is. Top flight guy.
Yeah, he had a really good hour-long show on Electronic Intifada. And the points that he made was several points. He said that, 2 months ago, I think this was right before they had the assassination of the president or whatever happened, the helicopter crash of the Iranian president. They were in talks with the Iranian, the Shiite militias in northern Iraq, and the forces in Syria, and their goal was that by September 1st, if we don't get our guys out of there, that we have a bases in Syria and northern Iraq, but nobody talks about. We have a huge Air Force base in northern Iraq. They would make moves against them. And just so it's like in April, they gave the warning when they had the attack on the embassy in Iran, where they assassinated the people in Iran at the embassy. No, that was in Syria.
It was in Syria, yes, Damascus, yes.
Yeah. And they did the strikes. They have been firing off rockets and mortars. I mean, they've given the point that we got those bases completely bracketed in. You can't defend them with your air defenses, and anytime we want to, we can take over. And from what I understand, the Iranian president said, you guys got to wait till September 1st, and they may give them till October because of the turmoil in our government right now to see what Kamala Harris, if she can understand the significance of what's going on. But then last week, we had this huge parade in Afghanistan with the Taliban, all the equipment that we left behind, they had this huge parade. And I can't believe that isn't a political message saying, hey, heads up, guys. You know, time's wasting. You know, we're going to do something here soon. And, you know, if they shut down the oil that we're stealing out of Syria, that's trucked across the border into Turkey. That's put into a pipeline. And the oil that comes from northern Iraq and the Kurdish area, that's put in that same pipeline, and that oil goes to Israel at a deep discount, and Israel doesn't want to negotiate. If they want to negotiate a settlement over Gaza, you know, they got to have something that's going to force Israel to the table. And one last thing is, people forget that Iran, ever since the Soleimani assassination, they've been remanufacturing tanks that they got from the Russians at a blistering pace. They have 800 to 1,000 tanks. And to me, Iran knows that in order for Israel to attack Iran, the fighter bombers, they have to use Jordanian airspace. And if they can get tanks into northern Iraq and Syria, then they could pressure an uprising against the Jordanian government, because the Jordanian government is hated by the majority Palestinian population. They overthrow the Jordanian government, and they can bring in tanks into Jordan to support them. I don't think they would try to invade Israel, but they would try to support the uprising against the Jordanians. If they deny Jordanian airspace, you know, logistically, it would make any types of attacks against Iran very difficult from the Mediterranean. And one last thing, you point out about how outdated our aircraft carriers are against modern missiles.
The hypersonics, concept, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, Matt Ho made a point that for Israel just to stay in the fight against Gaza, we're flying 3 of the 4 C-17s full of, you know, ammunition, tank engines, all sorts of things into the major Israeli airports. And all of these, you know, those, you know, you said your dad was in the Air Force. You know how big those C-17s are.
Yes.
And it takes forever. There's no way you can protect those on an airfield. And, you know, the modern drones, these little drones that have plenty of range, you know, they could be taken out, those C-17s, and that's Israel's lifeline now, or those big air transports.
Exactly. And I was looking, Vinny, at a post in Russian news media, one of these sites on Telegram, and it was I believe it was Intel Slava, which has close ties to the Russian government. And in this particular case, they were showing some sort of a high tech French armored vehicle. I don't know whether it was an APC or an IFV or an ACV, but nonetheless, it looked state of the art. And however many million this thing cost, the Russians took this thing out with a drone that allegedly cost them $500. And I think that this is where your analogy to the situation with Israel and drones and the Iranians and so forth comes into play. We are dealing with a situation, of course, where the the ideological forces that oppose the Zionist state regionally they're just at the end of their rope in terms of listening to any more of this garbage about a two-state solution or any more garbage about a ceasefire in Gaza, any more garbage about the Israelis leaving southern Lebanon alone, any more garbage about anything other than an American support of ongoing theft of Palestinian territories through these rogue settlers. And this is shown, of course, whether you want to talk about armaments or money. This country, and Phil Giraldi's article today for UNS just underscores it. Our government has been completely hijacked by these people who are supporting criminals. And at our expense, not simply in terms of tax money and national debt, but believe me, I think Mercurius at the Duran is entirely correct. The master strategy of Netanyahu is to somehow lure the United States and or NATO into getting into this mess on his side, because he knows, try as he might to deny it, he knows that this is not any longer 1973. It is no longer pre-2006. Everything in the last 15 to 20 years underscores the fact that whether you're talking about a more multipolar world in terms of the fact that the United States is no longer considered the sole superpower in the world, as it was considered to be right after the end of the Cold War and the demise of the old Soviet Union, that has all been squandered away in terms of a situation where the United States has made every foreign policy mistake that we could make with the Russians, that we could make with the Iranians and the Palestinians and the Syrians and the Libyans and the Chinese and so forth and so on, to a point to where when push comes to shove, if I were in a closed room with the Russians and the Iranians and Hezbollah and Hamas and the Chinese and Assad's people from Syria and so forth and so on, I would simply say, hey, whatever is decided, there needs to be a coordinated attack when it comes in terms of, you know, there needs to be maybe some flexibility in terms of when we move. But that this should not simply involve one player responding. In this case, Iran. Iran and Hezbollah are going to have to coordinate if they're going to attack Israel in earnest. This is where, of course, Putin finishing up this operation in Ukraine and mopping up the floor with Zelensky would be of extreme use to the anti-Zionist forces in the Middle East. If Russia were to enter this picture in some way, I don't think the Chinese will simply sit by and allow Netanyahu to do anything that he wants to, especially when the United States is floating around in the Chinese waters off the South China Sea. So this is going to be quite something, unless there is something I'm not aware of that is looming on the American political horizon. There is going to be, in my view, a wider war, a world war, sometime after the 2024 elections, in all probability. Is it in 2025, 2026? I don't know. But I see no way out of an eventual high noon showdown between these Zionist neocon crackpots and the American government and in the American media and their allies in the EU and Israel and the opposition. This is going to come to a final situation, I believe, and that I think is going to be absolutely tragic. Hey, thanks for calling, Vinny, and you take care, and I'll look forward to talking to you again.
Nice talking to you. Thank you.
Hey, God bless. Look forward to seeing you maybe next week. God bless. Mitch from Michigan, you are on with Mark Dankoff from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Go ahead, Mitch.
Hey, man. Great interview there, presentation. How many American GIs have been deployed to Israel? Any idea?
You know, I don't have a figure on that, but you're asking a very compelling question, Mitch, for several reasons. One, we have reports of American mercenaries and an allegation of active duty American and NATO troops fooling around in the Kursk region. No one really knows how much of this is going on as far as official links to the American government. But the one thing I can say about your question related to Israel specifically, I know someone in San Antonio, someone who, of course, I mean, this is San Antonio is known as Military Town USA. Here we've got the National Security Agency's global internet surveillance operation. I'm probably in the top five of the shows they listen to every week, probably. And then, of course, you have all of the United States Air Force operations here, Randolph Air Force Base and Lackland Air Force Base. You have Fort Sam Houston here. You have the BAMC, Brooke Army Medical Center, which is now known as the San Antonio Military Medical Center. It is the worldwide hub of American military medicine around the globe. So the point being with all of this, the Air Force's Air Intelligence Agency is here. The list just goes on and on. But this individual told me that he had personal contacts with someone in Israel who was active duty United States Army, who was involved covertly in Israel on behalf of what the United States is doing there, whatever it's doing there, to augment the Netanyahu regime's activities. And presumably, this could be either Gaza, or could be on Israel's northern border with Lebanon. Who knows? Maybe this guy is doing something in the occupied territories that we don't know about. But, you know, it begs the question, how many of these guys are there? Now, in this particular case, my source on this is impeccable. We are not talking about some crackpot mercenary from the United States who runs to Israel out of some Christian Zionist hallucination or whatever it might happen to be. This guy is active duty United States Army, and he's an officer. He has some degree of significance and seniority in whatever it is that our government is doing over there, and that's scary, because your question is entirely the right one. How many of these jokers are in there, and what are they doing? Folks, I wanted to thank our callers today, both from Indiana and Michigan, for contacting me on Mark Dankoff's America. I would ask for all of you listening to the end of the show to consult your roadmap and to look at a very extended commentary that was sent to me via VT Foreign Policy by a reader of my latest post for them. It comes from someone who says that they are free the world. It's an extended comment. It's an excellent comment. It's very sad, very insightful, and that portends for the future is concerned. I'll see you next week. God bless. Take care.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.